Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here, and with me in the studio today, back again, my good friend for many years, Ron Meyer. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. It certainly has been many years.
A long time ago, we did this this podcast on the Fivefold Ministry, and people have loved it, Ron, all over the world. Just got exceptional response to it. And I would like today just to talk about that, drill down on each of these Fivefold Ministry gifts. And we're going to just, today, we're just going to talk about the apostle and how that applies today to the life of the believer and the church. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I got a bunch of good questions for you here.
Good.
All right, here we go. Ron, of course, this all comes from Ephesians chapter 4, 11, 12. Jesus, you know, gave apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the saints for work of ministry and build up the body of Christ. Now, let's talk about the apostle. I mean, many people say, well, apostles, there were 12 of those, were there not? Talk about that. Are there more?
Yeah, there's a lot more. In fact, there's over 20, I think, listed in the New Testament. Andronius, Junia, who's a lady.
True.
Paul, obviously, very major one. But there were a number of
Apollos
ones.
And many others.
That were also listed there. First of all, you know, the whole fivefold ministry is just exciting because there's a whole new emphasis that's being placed on it. The Holy Spirit is placing on that today. And this is not something that's new. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, and saying this is what God has established to help grow the church. The kingdom of God is always on the offense. It's always moving forward.
Exactly.
Jesus is always accelerating, extending, moving his kingdom forward. And the enemy is always on the defense to try and hold that. So the Holy Spirit is just re-emphasizing these gifts to continue to grow and extend and expand the kingdom
of God. So good, so true. You know, we grew up with understanding there's pastors of the church. There were Sunday school teachers. There was Billy Graham, the evangelist. You didn't really hear much about apostles or even prophets. Talk about the apostolic gift. Explain, you know, what is the apostolic gift given to the church?
Well, the apostolic gift is a builder, a planter, an extender, an expander. One of their passions is to pour into people and see them released to be who God's called them to be. So they desire to pour into people. They desire to see them grow, mature. They desire to see them sent out. Their passion is just to see people grow. It's not about their ministry. It's not about something that they want to do for themselves. They want to see others released in the gifting and call that God has placed upon their lives, which is really what sets the apostolic apart. It's that growing, that building, that extending, expanding.
Yeah, I mean, Paul said, "I'm a wise master builder." I
think, yes, he did.
So,
he
as
did.
An apostle, they see the blueprint. They want to see all the gifts released and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and he also said, "I'm an apostle called by God."
That's
so it's not some self-appointed thing that some people think. Well, because as there's more emphasis given on each of these gifts, there's that tendency in people's lives to say, "Well, this is who I am," so and put a title on themselves versus to function in the gift, in the apostolic gift. As you are well aware, we don't use nouns so much, and we don't use titles,
but we use apostle Bob. In fact, even in the Bible, it was Paul called to be an apostle.
So it's more of a function. It's more of what is that gift? How's that gift activated in my life? And how is it really released in my life? And how can I use that gift to accelerate others in their call and their gifting?
Good. Now, what are some examples of apostles in the church today? And we already talked about some in the New Testament. But give us some other examples, things you've seen the apostolic gift functioning in, things you've seen apostles do in the church today in this century.
Sure. Well, where I see the apostolic gift really functioning today is leaders of movements, people who plant churches, people who attract other church planters that create an ability to work together to advance the kingdom of God, to move the kingdom forward. So we could name names, but there are all kinds of different people. Obviously, yourself as an apostolic leader who started 1980 and to see the way the Dove family has grown, other leaders here regionally, others leaders nationally, internationally. When you see something that's growing, multiplying, that's an apostolic gift and function.
I remember when I served as a senior pastor many years ago, and we worked together way back. And I remember for a while I thought, well, we need to have these fivefold ministry gifts as leaders in the church. You know, we need to somehow, you know, put it on our leadership team, eldership team, whatever, you know. And that really didn't work out.
I remember it well.
So if you could you help us today explain the difference between leaders who equip and leaders who govern?
Okay. Well, leaders who govern are those who have a gift of government. That comes out of Romans chapter 12.
Correct.
And that without the gift of government, they don't have the capacity to make those kind of governing decisions.
True.
Especially a prophet or an evangelist. Those two would really, really struggle. And
many
a governmental
cases.
Gift.
Mm-hmm.
All fivefold gifts are designed to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry,
right,
as it clearly lays out in Ephesians chapter 4.
Right.
It says, this is what they're called to do. They're called to do it, to bring the saints to equip the saints for ministry, to bring the church to maturity, and to really release people to function in who they are, in their identity.
Right.
The most important thing we can do is see people function the way God's created them to function.
Exactly. And obviously, the apostolic gift helps people to do that, obviously. Now, how and why are persons with the apostolic gift sometimes misunderstood?
Well, you know, the apostolic gift is always a builder, a planter, someone who expands. You know, I heard some people say, well, and you know, part of the deal of helping us understand the fivefold giftings is I believe that every person is wired or has a bent, for lack of a better term, toward one of these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And in teaching and explaining the fivefold ministry gifts, what we're helping people understand is I'm normal.
Right.
I'm okay. It's okay for me to think this way. So someone with an apostolic gift continually thinks expansion, continually thinks growth, and they can sometimes get bored with status quo. So someone looking at the outside can say, well, you just need discipline in your life. Well, discipline is good, but maybe you need to go start something new.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
But yes, you need to start it. You need to then develop it. Not that you start something and you're on to the next thing and this and falters. You want to build something that's sustainable, something that continues on, but someone with an apostolic gift will always look for the next thing.
Right.
In the business world, it'll be the next business.
That's right.
It'll be the next deal. It'll be the next thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
In the church world, it'll be, how can we start another small group? How can we plant another church? How can we develop this next ministry?
Mm-hmm.
That's the apostolic gift and function, building, planting, expanding.
And obviously, we're all called to be spiritual fathers. You know, throughout the New Testament, but in 1 Corinthians talks so clearly about that. You have many teachers, not many fathers, and apostolic fathers and mothers release people and release others with not only apostolic gifts, but other gifts to do new things.
Yeah.
Often those with other gifts want to kind of hang on and say, well, these people need to grow more. And maybe they do need to grow more, but the apostolic sees potential.
Yes,
and wants to release people. You agree?
Yes, totally agree. Yeah.
So which of the four other fivefold gifts do you feel apostolic persons find the easiest to understand and can work with?
I think they find the easiest to relate to would be the prophets or those with the prophetic gift.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is because they're both expanders. They're both lengtheners. The prophet sees where we need to go. The prophet is declaring, this is what God is saying for now. And the apostolic gift comes alongside of that and says, this is how we can get there.
That's good.
The pastoral gift, the teaching gift are so important. All these gifts are important. And their functions are all important. But sometimes those other gifts, which we'll get to later, would have a tendency, well, we need to take care of what is now before we extend or expand anything.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate you say we'll get to later. I just want everyone to know in the podcast today that we're doing five podcasts, one the apostle, one the prophet, one the evangelist, one the teacher, and because we want to people to understand how the fivefold ministry really, really works.
Yep.
And today we're focusing on the apostle. So which of the other four fivefold ministry gifts do you feel like apostles might find or apostolic persons would find it most difficult?
Yeah, I don't know if they find it most difficult.
Or maybe there is none.
Because the apostolic gift, when we look at Ephesians 4, the apostolic gift, I believe, often has functioned in one of the other
four. Talk about that.
So for me personally, I was pastoring people long before I was called a pastor, or
right.
before I said I had a pastoral gift. I remember the first time I began to move prophetically.
Yeah.
I remember when the first time I started doing, you know, the teaching started flowing better for me. So an apostle has the ability to understand the other gifts and bring them together in unity and move them forward.
Correct.
If there's any that they would struggle with, or maybe it's not that they don't understand it, but maybe struggle with, would be probably more a little bit more of the pastoral gift or mm-hmm. the teaching gift that is so grounded and so important.
Right.
But again, that apostolic gift is constantly trying to pull them mm-hmm. forward and draw them forward, which is why it's important that they're working in conjunction with
exactly.
each other, so that they can sometimes hold that apostolic gift back and say, before we go forward, we need to make sure we have a firm foundation built here.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, apostolically, as I function that way, I see the value in each of the gifts,
right.
and I can identify with that value, and I need to hear from them. Someone with an apostolic gift needs to hear and knows they need to hear
mm-hmm.
from the others. So their goal is to draw out what that other person is saying,
right.
and then think through how does that apply so that we can move together. Forward together.
So good, Ron. You know, obviously you function apostolic and prophetic and many other gifts. I remember back when you were pastoring a local
mm-hmm.
church, or use the term lead elder of a
mm-hmm.
local church, and you found a way I thought that was brilliant to see the fivefold ministry input into the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You did that in a fantastic way. Explain how you did that.
Well, what I did is, first of all, I acknowledged that we wanted to see the fivefold release.
Right.
That was first.
Right.
So I began teaching on. Again, this isn't new. This is Ephesians.
It's in the Bible.
This is way back. So, but many people who, they just weren't aware. So I began teaching it, and then I began to identify it. I began to bring in
mm-hmm.
People who had a prophetic gift.
Right.
People who had other gifts, I could bring them in and show, not showcase them, but demonstrate
mm-hmm.
what they were and how they function,
right.
and then began to say, well, this if you're thinking this way, this is probably that gift in your life.
Mm-hmm.
As people began to then. Just an elementary way begin mm-hmm. to function in that, I could speak into that. Let's take the case of someone who has a prophetic bent. So they began to prophesy. They began to share words of what they were feeling. As we nurtured that gift
mm-hmm.
and began to see it grow, then we could give them affirmation
mm-hmm.
in that gift and what they were developing. Then I got to the place where I could trust them that they could deliver the word. They could deliver a prophetic word. It was time tested, and then I got to the place where I could acknowledge them in a corporate setting and say, "This person has
right.
a prophetic gift. We trust them to speak into this house, into this fellowship. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray over them and release them as a prophet, or in this case, it was a prophetess,
mm-hmm.
and we'll release them to go through to the small groups to minister to the small groups. And through that process, then I had to make sure they were." Aware that I could bring adjustment or correction as we grew together
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
As they were released, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist, I had definitely had those three, I would bring them then together with the elder team a number of times a year
Good.
And allow them to speak into us as an elder team things that they were sensing from the lens that they were looking through from a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher.
So they were not necessarily called elders. They're like more translocal ministers
yep.
in the local church.
In the local
but
church.
But you brought them in
yes.
to speak into the eldership.
Yeah, because according to Ephesians 4, those who are developed in that gift have a responsibility to train and equip
right.
the church and bring it to maturity.
Right.
I used to think, well, I'll just let them speak once a year and that's good. You know, they get
mm-hmm,
some pulpit
mm-hmm.
time and that'll be fine.
Sure.
And then I was reading through Ephesians 4 one day and then I realized, and part of it was I could feel the frustration coming from some of them. And then I realized that I was not giving them an outlet, a place for them to to share, to communicate what they were sensing.
Right.
And what I liken it to is like I was charging them when we laid hands on them. I was charging them to, let's say, keep the room at a certain temperature, but I didn't give them access to the thermostat. So they were like frustrated. And if you don't do that, they'll end up starting a fire in the middle of the room if it's too cold. So they would. So I needed to create an outlet, a place where they could speak into the life of the church.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone listening here today, I just want you to know there's so much more inside Ron than he has on the Fivefold Ministry. And he wrote this, really, it's been our best-selling book the last couple of years, Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, again, updated. And so check out the show notes. You go to Amazon or wherever you buy books, or Dove International Bookstore, wherever, and pick that up. Let's continue on. Let's get into this a bit deeper. What about someone who's listening right now and they're saying, you know, I'm not called to church leadership. I love Jesus. I'm in the marketplace. I'm serving in business, or I'm on a school board, or whatever.
Sure.
How does this all apply to them, Ron?
Well, it applies to them in the regard of, first of all, again, each of these gifts are viable in the marketplace. In fact, we find these gifts functioning even in people who are not necessarily saved yet at this point.
Right.
The builder, the expander, the guy who wants to just see things happen and move forward. So how I see that gift function in the marketplace is those who are starting businesses, those who are expanding businesses, those who have a heart to see others grow and mature and just see them really branch out and starting something new, that kind of thing. So it's very viable in the marketplace.
Right. So good. So in a perfect world, where do apostles find places of ministry then?
Sure. In a perfect world, in a local church, they're builders, they're starters.
Good.
If I have an apostolic gift, it's just inside of me of wanting to see something fresh start. So I go to my local leadership. If this is inside of me, I go to my local leadership and I say, hey, I really have it on my heart to start XYZ, a small group. Would that be okay if I did that? And again, you're not looking at doing something apart from leadership. You're looking to enhance what God is doing through leadership, through the local church that you're a part of. Because again, you're developing that gift and God has placed you into that local body to help you develop that, and the elder team is here to help you to speak into that, to bring it to maturity. In developing these gifts, you have to go through the risk-taking, you have to go through making mistakes, you know, you have to go through all that process. That's all part of maturing you. That's all part of bringing you to the maturation process of helping you function in that gift.
Now, talk about gift mixes. You know, I mentioned, of course, you function in all these, and you've been involved apostolically in this nation around the world. I've seen you move prophetically many, many, many times. How does a gift mix work? Because many people are not just one.
Right.
But they have more than one gift operating in their lives.
Yeah, gift mixes are quite interesting because, again, the gifts that you have, the mix you have, is the lens that you look through circumstances and situations.
Right.
So an apostolic gifting with a strong prophetic or the next prophetic will continually look to the future and will look to how can we get to the future. Someone with a strong apostolic gift mix with a teaching gift will look to the future, but they will make sure that things are grounded properly before we take next steps. Again, it's how do these gifts function together? Understanding yourself. Self-awareness is so key.
Huge, yeah.
And then it helps you understand others and how what they're thinking and where they're coming from when they come to you with questions or even input. I've had times at the end of a powerful message, you know, worship went long and I had to end worship and the word was powerful and people come and say, I can't believe you cut off worship. We were ready to break into the presence of God. Why did you cut it off? And the next person will come and say, I can't believe that you let worship go so long. Don't you know it's the implanted word of God that is able to save your soul? And so that's the prophetic gift and the teaching gift.
Right.
And then someone else will come as a pastoral gift and say, Ron, you just talk too much. You need to have a prayer ministry line. The evangelist will say, I can't believe you didn't have a prayer healing line at the end of the service. And it just goes on. But it's the word they're viewing circumstances and situations.
Yeah.
And you're afraid affirming that you say, yes, that's right. What you see from that, from your lens is accurate. That's who you are. We want to release that. But then how does that coincide right. with where we're going as a yeah. family? As a
That's why we teach so much in fields of ministry, because whatever field of ministry you're in,
exactly.
whoever's leading that field of ministry, they have a grace from God to know what should happen, what shouldn't happen, although they're listening, taking in all the hearing from others.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where the apostolic gift is so important. If I was leading a church, and we'll talk more about that in one of the next podcasts, if I'm leading a church as a pastor and a strong pastoral gift, I need to have some apostolic influence into my life, or I'll just be content with what is versus what can be.
Very good.
And the possibilities.
Very good. Well, we're almost out of time, Ron. Where do apostles find accountability?
Apostles find accountability. First of all, everyone needs accountability.
Right.
That's a given.
Exactly.
That's scriptural. That apostles find accountability from other apostolic leaders who can speak into their lives, who think the way they think, and yet also can provide accountability because they know the pitfalls. Mm-hmm. They know the mistakes that can be made. Because the apostolic gift, first of all, when Paul wrote it, everyone understood what the apostolic gift was. They understood what apostles were, because that was the name given to the Roman ship and everything that was sent out. And they were to take the rule of the nation that was sent them and establish that, which is what apostles are called to do, to bring Christ's rule to his government here on the earth.
Right.
And so the apostolic receives accountability from other apostolic leaders, from other movement leaders. In our context, it's recognized spiritual advisors, people who value us, people who care about us, people who want to see us succeed.
Mm-hmm. So good. So much more to come. We're out of time, Ron. Thank you. Anything more you want to say before we close out today's podcast?
Yeah, I would say the other thing I would say with this is function in who you are.
That's good.
Don't aspire towards something that's not you. Before you aspire and say, "Wow, I know I'm called to be an apostle," read what Paul writes about apostles. We're the least. We're the least cared for kind of thing. And realize that apostles lay foundations, and it's on their foundation that others can step up and become who God has called them to be. It comes from a heart of servanthood. It comes from a passion and a desire for God to see his kingdom extend and expand. So apostolic people want to connect with God, want to connect with others, and then want others to connect with the lost.
Yeah.
That's our heart, is to see the kingdom grow and expand. It's not about us as an apostolic gift. It's not about, quote unquote, our ministry.
Right.
It's about extending and expanding the kingdom of God for his honor and his praise and his glory.
Many people are looking for a title, or looking for an office, or looking for something other than what you just said, and you're right. Each of these are gifts from God, and the key is we are sons and daughters of the living God.
Yeah.
And also we're accountable to local churches. We're accountable for our gifts, like you said, so true, to other apostolic leaders, or apostles, that's all true, but also we're committed to our local church, so that our lives are bringing honor and glory to God.
Yeah. So the title of my book that I wrote was Fivefold Ministry Made Practical. But I'll tell you what, the practicality of people walking in obedience with God and walking in submission to one another and working together to extend and expand the kingdom. Listen, you can function in all these gifts without a title. The Bible says a man and a person's gift makes room for them, not a title. Mm-hmm. A title sometimes can open doors, so to speak. But I'll tell you what, your gift, when you function in your gift, that is what makes it possible for you to flourish and for you to really fulfill what God's called you to do. Right. There's nothing better than at the end of the day knowing that you're doing exactly what God's called you to do. But Paul says, when the chief shepherd appears, then you'll receive your reward.
Exactly.
So we're not looking for something now. It's great. The affirmations are great. But I'll tell you what, when when you stand before the Lord, that's when you receive the crown of glory that will not fade away. Amen. That's the part I'm looking for.
So well said, Ron Maher. Thank you. Everybody, please check out the show notes, more from Ron Maher, more about Fivefold Ministry. Again, if you haven't read this book, Fivefold Ministry Made Practical, I think it'll be a great blessing to you. And you can get that in audio. I mean, you get that in ebooks, you can get that paper, whatever. Get that through the Devon International Bookstore. You can get that through Amazon or wherever you buy books. So Ron, you will be back.
And yes, looking forward to it.
Talk next time. We're going to talk about prophetic and the prophets. And then, of course, we're going to make sure we have all these fivefold ministry gifts clarified. So for those listening today to the podcast, thank you again for joining us. Again, our heart is if you just find one small area that could change in your life, just one small area, the Holy Spirit would lead you to do that. It'll make a massive difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of those whom you serve. So God bless you, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.